Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left, 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's the Overtime Show. Here's Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase.
Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Overtime Show, presented by Redlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase hanging out with you for the next, I don't know, we'll call it about an hour and a half. Sabres pregame starts at 7:30.
Yeah, the Oilers.
The Oilers.
McDavid and Eichel.
Great.
It's always good.
Great. Super.
What? They're tied for a playoff spot.
Oilers are much better than the Sabres, so.
Isn't it interesting how it doesn't feel like they're anywhere near the playoffs,
but they're tied for a playoff spot? Doesn't it feel weird that they're not even, they don't feel remotely close to the Edmonton Oilers?
Right, but yet they're tied. They're sitting here tied for a playoff spot. But the Bills are thoroughly in a playoff spot still.
They are still in a playoff spot, regardless of the outcome today, which, of course, was not the outcome many of us were looking forward to.
But maybe predicted.
But I think predicted.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, I went into this game. I did not think that the Bills were on the same level as the Baltimore Ravens. I thought that they were probably a tier below them. And I think that's what we probably left today thinking, is they're roughly a tier below the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, whether or not you guys leave this game and take it as a negative moving forward, it's kind of on you. I don't look at today's game, and I don't feel like I saw a performance that I'm starting to all of a sudden worry about the progress that this team and this offense and this quarterback has made over the last few weeks. I think it was a poor game by the starting quarterback. I think it was a poor game by the starting offensive line. I think it was a poor game for John Brown. I think it was a poor game. You could probably single out some offensive linemen, including Cody Ford, in that. The offense did not. Dawson Knox didn't have a good day. The offense as
a
whole, offensively, not many people. And I think that's the point here is, you know, I think we can probably avoid talking about firing the offensive coordinator. I don't really think that was a necessary thing for people to be going off on Twitter. But, you know, it's Twitter. I know everyone's kind of got to get their hot takes out after the game. But I thought some of the takes were over the top after the game today. I thought Brian Daboll, for the most part, called the same type of game he's been calling all season long. I think the execution really lacked today. And I think a part of that execution lacking had a lot to do with what the Baltimore Ravens were doing. And I think that's the thing that everyone should really understand here, is this wasn't a Bills team that was missing open receivers. This wasn't a Bills team that was, you know, dropping wide open touchdown passes, although you could make an argument Josh Allen missed a couple of touchdown passes early in that first half that might have been the difference in the football game. But I think ultimately, the thing that I continue to look at about this football game is they faced one of the hottest defenses in football, and a defense that felt confident enough to run cover zero and blitz you 30 times. 30. 3-0 Josh Allen got blitzed on today. And when he wasn't blitzed, the offensive line couldn't quite figure out who the heck to block. And it was a really difficult performance for the offensive line from a scheme standpoint, from a pressure standpoint. At the end of the day, Josh Allen is going to need more than a second and a half, and sometimes even less than a second and a half, to get rid of the football. He was under siege all day long. They needed to make some adjustments out of the half to do something about the cover zero looks. The problem is, and I will say this has been a consistent problem for this Bills offense for the entire season so far, is they don't really have an answer when teams want to go cover zero. And they want to blitz you off the corner, blitz you off the edge, blitz you from a slot, blitz you from the middle. They don't have an answer for it. And eventually they're going to need to get an answer for it. At the end of the day, this Bills team is exactly who I thought they were going into the football game. I felt like this was going to be a close game. I think I predicted 26-20 and ends up being 24-17. Exactly the kind of game I thought they'd get themselves into. I thought the defense played remarkable football against Lamar Jackson. They had one slip up and it didn't really swing the tide of the game like I thought it might. And at the end of the day, you want more from your offense. You want a more balanced attack from the offense. And I think more importantly, you want to feel like you didn't waste a really, really good defensive performance. Having said all of that, the Baltimore Ravens are a football team you can beat. The Baltimore Ravens are a team that is likely going to be the number one seed in the AFC. If you're watching any of this Patriots-Kansas City game, I think you could pretty much lock it in that the Baltimore Ravens are going to have the number one overall seed in the AFC. And I think if you're the Bills and you're Bills fans, you look at, you just hung the entire four-quarter game with the Baltimore Ravens. You had a really nice fourth quarter coming back, and it made it look like with a penalty on fourth down that you might have a shot to get the tying touchdown. I would have loved to see it happen, because I would have loved to see whether or not Sean McDermott would have gone for two and for the win. I don't think he would have. I think he would have kicked the field goal into overtime. But if it were me, I'm going for two, because I'm not trying to get that team into overtime.
And also, what's my best capability of the offense all season? It's been the red zone offense. So you get that ball on the 2 yard line, I'll take the Bills from the 2 yard line to win the game over a coin flip, and then hope that you get the ball. And if you don't, you got to stop Lamar Jackson. I'm leaving this game thinking, yes, that they can beat Baltimore. But you know what I'm thinking more about? I'm thinking more about a potential Kansas City first round matchup. I'm looking at a team like that, and Houston to a kind of the same extent as well. One of the teams you'll most likely face in the first round if you do end up getting the fifth wildcard spot or the sixth wildcard spot, which looks like that's the most likely scenario right now. New York Times has them 92% to be a wildcard team, 5% to miss the playoffs, 2% to get a bye week. And if that's what's going to happen, maybe it's New England also, by the way. That's a different scenario. But I'm talking here about Kansas City and Houston, two teams you're very likely that you could end up playing. And Kansas City, let's take them for a second here. Because when you see at Arrowhead as a first-round playoff matchup, I think you immediately think, oh, Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh my gosh, they're gonna get slaughtered by that team. But then when I saw what they did against Baltimore today, Kansas City is not as complete a team as the Baltimore Ravens are. What did the Bills do to Baltimore today? They took a elite offense, and they just completely shut them down. Not completely, but for the most part. They hung 24 points on you, but 257 yards of total offense. I held Lamar Jackson, the MVP frontrunner in that Ravens offense, to 257 yards of total offense.
Who, by the way, average over 430 a game.
They average over 200 rushing and passing a game.
That's right. And they only had 145 yards on the ground, which might be one of their lowest outputs of the entire season.
It's crazy to say, like, yeah, that's right. Yep. They took what the Ravens do
well. They had 118 yards on the ground.
118.
That was definitely their lowest output of the season.
Even better. They took what the other team's offense does well, and they stopped it. And that has happened pretty much all season for the Bills. They have gone up against really good offenses, the few that they have gone up against, and they have pretty much shut them down. And that makes me look at a team like Kansas City. And I look at today's game, and I think, if that was Kansas City today, if I can have that same exact performance against the Kansas City Chiefs, I think I win that football game. Because, like you said, that Baltimore defense is hot. That is one of the better units in the league that doesn't get a lot of attention because their offense is so good. The Bills ran into a big problem with the Baltimore defense today. They figured out how to play Josh Allen. We've been talking about what's the blueprint on how to figure out Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but he's been doing it all season. Nobody has done it. The way that the Baltimore Ravens did it today, which was they just blitzed the ever-living daylights out of this Buffalo Bills offense, and the Bills' offensive line had really no answer for it all day. They did find some success running the football late in the second quarter and came back late in the fourth quarter, but at a certain point, the offense ends up going, I think, what do they end up?
The Bills?
5 of 17 on third down?
Yeah, I think I got 5 of 17 here. That's not great. But again,
4 of 17. They were 4 of 17 on third down, and that right there is the stat that I... That and Josh Allen, let me get the Marcel Louis-Jacques tweet up.
But again, with going to Arrowhead, if they end up going to Arrowhead by chance, I think there's enough confidence now that you can almost assume this Bills defense is going to stop Kansas City, or they're at least going to hold them to something reasonable. And then it becomes, can my offense score points? That's going to end up being, I think, the story of this season. Can my offense score points? And when they get an easier matchup against a Kansas City defense or against a Houston defense, I have a lot more confidence now that they can win that type of football game, because I have now seen this defense take the number one offense in football and cut their production in half. So I'm ready to see them play one of these top offenses in a wild card game and hope that the offense can make up for it against a weaker defense.
Josh Allen needs to be better. There's no doubt about it. I think Josh Allen will probably, when we play Josh Allen at some point this evening, I'm sure he'll be the first to tell you that he needed to be better in this game. Marcel Louis-Jacques, they were 1 of 11 on passes 15 or more yards down the field. He was 0 for 11 from the outside the pocket. He was 1 of 16 when he was under duress and blitzed 30 times, completed 29% of his attempts against it. 7 of 24 against the blitz today. You want to talk about blueprint? Teams are going to continue to run it against you, and there are very few teams, there are very, very few teams that, in my opinion anyways, can run cover zero regularly. It's the New England Patriots, and it's the Baltimore Ravens. The Bills probably could if they wanted to. I think they've got the cover corners to do it. That's it. Like, you're not going to play the Pittsburgh Steelers next week and probably see them run a lot of cover zero. They may make a Fitzpatrick and kind of go all over the field. They still like Joe Hayden's playing at a decently high level. But, like, there are very, very few teams that are going to be able to run the defense that the Jacks or that the Baltimore Ravens ran today. I mean, they've got three really good corners. Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphreys, and, Marcus Peters are three really, really good cover corners. This is an 11-win football team, the Baltimore Ravens. They're probably going to win 13 games at the minimum. So, you know, yeah, I'm a little pissed off they lost to this team and the offense couldn't get their act together. The Bills are 9-4. And, you know, they are only 4-3 at home. This is a team that plays really well when they leave. That is one thing I think Sean McDermott at the end of the day will probably be pretty upset about, is they have not had that same home field advantage. They haven't been winning at home like they have in years past in the first 2 years under McDermott.
That's true.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark, who has been waiting patiently. Mark, you're on the Overtime Show. Thanks for listening, man. Mark, you there? Sorry, Mark. You're probably on hold too long, man. You know, we weren't paying attention. Let's go to John. John, you are on the Overtime Show. Welcome, John.
Hi, what's going on?
Nothing, man.
So, listen, we haven't listened to everything because we've been watching this Patriots game, but we were wondering why the Bills never ran a jet sweep when the Ravens are supposed to be, like, bad on the outside coverage, not even a fake one. And the other thing is as we're watching this Patriots game, Tom Brady looks so thin, his chin looks like two butt cheeks.
Well, I don't really think the Ravens are bad on the outside coverage, so
I don't know that
matters. Anyway.
I don't know what the Tom Brady point was all about.
I don't know. They're losing 20-7 at half, though.
Man. Let's not have this go off the rails right off the bat. I mean, we're only
hell of a start.
We're
here.
Only
we're
14
off.
Minutes.
We're
in.
Off and running.
Let's go to David. David, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, David.
Hi, guys. I had a couple comments/questions. The first one is, why do we have virtually no play-action passes in our offense when it's, you know, analytically it's the number one predictor of success in the passing game? I don't understand. Number two, where is Tyler Croft in our offense? I remember when they signed him in the offseason, Brandon Bean said if it wasn't for the fact that he was playing behind Tyler Eifert, that he'd be an elite tight end. He is zero part of our offense. And then the third thing I wanted to bring up, I haven't heard anybody mention it yet. Unless he was planning on going for 2 points if they scored again to win the game, going for 2 points after they scored the touchdown was absolutely the wrong move, and Dan Fouts actually said it about 10 seconds after I said it. Because if you miss that 2-point conversion,
no.
9 points down.
No, 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 no. David, I got to stop you there. I got to stop you. You go for two there. 100%. Dan Fouts is the oldest school of oldest school thinking. You go for two as soon as you get the opportunity, because guess what? At the end of the game, if you miss it and go for two, you will have lost the game. You go for it there to give yourself an opportunity to kick a field goal at the end of the game. This whole do the hard thing last doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me. And I see a lot of people talking about the 2-point conversion. They made it. Why are we talking about it like it was a bad decision? They made it, and they gave themselves an opportunity at the end of the game to tie it because they went for two prior. You do that. If the Bills were able to score, and it's 24, and the Bills lost 24-22, you know how many? That, David, you would have been the guy calling me saying they should have went for two earlier in the game because that was the smart move. Usually the revisionist theory is when they don't make it and it's not successful. That was the right call, and all you have to do is understand football to the slightest amount of knowledge. That was the right call to go for 2 points there. And I don't understand why anyone's arguing it. They made it.
I don't understand why either. You're just giving yourself another option. You're giving yourself more time to know what you have to come back from.
Right.
If you miss that and you're down
you
9.
You have to get a two-point conversion anyways.
Now you know, I'm down 2 scores, so I have to be even more rushed. I'm even more urgency to get them off the field. I have more urgency to use my timeouts. I don't have much time to dilly-dally. Whereas instead, if you don't go for 2 there, and then, like you said, if you go for it at the end, you save for the end, the game's just over. And then you're relying on an onside kick, which is like, is that under 3% now success rate in the NFL? So, no, of course you go for 2 there. Like,
and also, easy. The Bills are ranked 15th in the NFL in play action percentage.
What are they?
They have 24% of their dropbacks end up in play action, which is 12 points less than the Rams, who run it at 36%. The Bills are pretty much right at the top of the league with everyone that runs play action. So,
by the way, I would go for 2 all the time if I were them, because their best thing that they are in offense is a red zone offense.
Yep.
At the 2-yard line, you should trust the Bills' offense to be more consistent than they are in the rest of the field. Cole Beasley is a legitimate red zone threat, which is kind of amazing because you would never think of him as such. When you think of a red zone threat, you think of the big-bodied catch radius wide receiver. But when you really stop and think about it, they have the type of weapons you want. Cole Beasley in a one-on-one situation with a cornerback in tight space, that is what he is best at. And that's why he's catching touchdowns. And then you have Josh Allen running the ball on top of that. So I would go for 2 every single time if I were the Bills. And I know nobody in the league is that forward-thinking, but I'm never going to get on them for that. And by the way, on Tyler Kroft, I think Sal said this last week or the week before. I'm not going to be surprised at all if the Bills cut Tyler Kroft after the season. They will have an out. $1.6 million in dead cap if they want out of that. I know Dawson Knox had some drops today, but Dawson Knox gets open. Dawson Knox is athletic. Dawson Knox is a higher drafted player than Tyler Kroft for a reason, because he has more tools to work with. I never thought Tyler Kroft was that great a tight end. He was an average tight end at best when he started for Cincinnati, and he only started for Cincinnati when they had 2 other guys in C.J. Uzomah and Tyler Eifert when they were injured. And guess what Cincinnati decided to do this offseason? Re-sign the other 2 guys and not Tyler Kroft. So this isn't some stud player that isn't seeing the field. He was an average tight end in Cincinnati, and I have no issue with him not seeing a bunch of targets, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's cut after the year.
You
can't even stay healthy to begin with. He's missed like 16 games in the last 2 years here. I'm not worried about Tyler Kroft.
Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Bill.
Yes. I guess my comment is, you know, I really believe that the Bills need to use the middle of the field more, and especially today you saw that with all the blitzing that Baltimore was doing. And you see with the modern game of football now, the modern age of football is, you know, with the relaxed rules, you know, when it comes to the receivers, and you know how you can't play them as tough anymore, a lot of teams are using the middle of the field really efficiently, you know, with crosses and slants, and they're sitting, you know, guys down in the middle of the zone. And if the Bills were to utilize, you know, the quick passing game and the quick slants and crosses today against that blitz, I thought they would have had a lot more success. It seems like every time I see Josh Allen, he's rolling to one sideline or another, you know, obviously because they were blitzing so much. But it seems like he's always constantly running toward the sideline and then releasing it at the last second before he goes out of bounds. And the Bills' offense just seems to be so predictable anymore. I see that every week out of Josh Allen.
Well, Bill, I feel like I heard you several times mention that they should stop going to the outside.
They should have thrown the ball. That's how I agree with Bill. I wanted to see more from the quick passing game coming over the middle in that cover zero look.
Right.
But at the same time, it's definitely not as easy as just, hey, throw the ball over the middle of the field when they've blitzed a lot up the middle right on the Bills. And they were getting a ton of pressure right from the interior part of the offensive line. So, yes, I agree with you. That's definitely a method I would like to see them try more, the short passing game. I definitely agree. But they did try the short passing game. They were going to the short passing game, but it was to the sideline. And I didn't really like those calls. I didn't think it particularly worked well. But That's what ended up happening. I think, you know, to the other point, I don't think they're very predictable. They just hung a 26 spot last week against and up and down the field against a good Dallas Cowboys defense. So I'm going to disagree with you that there's some predictable offense, but I will probably agree that I do think they probably should have figured out more ways to get the quick passing game going early in that game, and they didn't, and that's part of the reason they lost. 803-0550-1-888-552-550. Want to get another call? Let's get another call before we go to the locker room. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you're on the Overtime Show. Thanks for hanging with us, Tim.
Hey, guys, you're making many good points. I'm starting to think you have the Oracle from 300 in your room with you. all I can say is Bills dropped the ball today from the coaching staff down. Too many drops would have completely changed your game. I thought Josh threw some nice touch balls in addition to putting some balls right in people's hands that they dropped. Dawson Knox is a 50-50 guy right now. He makes a great play, and then he drops the ball he has to catch, and he whiffed on that block that caused the fumble. I heard Bulldog blame Allen on that. That's clearly not his fault. He can't see the same eyes in the back of his helmet. He got creamed. So I'd like to see more creative play calling with what defense they were facing. Hold back some more for protection to cover the blitz, and I think we would have had a different game. And McDermott's got to throw that pass interference flag. He's got to.
I don't know, Tim. My problem with he's got to throw the pass interference flag is there's been a pretty evident precedent that they're not going to overturn these calls. And was it a pass interference? Yeah. Would he gotten it overturned at the if they went to a replay? I don't know. I mean, maybe you're saying they have to do it, and maybe you waste the one just to try it, I guess. But and to your point, it's kind of difficult to bring more guys in to protect your quarterback, but also not but also be creative. Like you basically are saying, I want it both ways. I want them to be able to protect the quarterback, but I also want them to be more creative in their play calling. I don't know that you can have that both ways on that one, Tim. So I have to disagree with you on that one. At the end of the day, I just want people to understand that, yes, when teams want to just run man across the board, cover zero, and blitz the crap out of you, that there should be openings in the passing game for them to be able to beat teams. The problem is, it's not when it's executed well, it's not an easy defense to beat regularly. It puts a ton of pressure on your quarterback. It puts a ton of pressure, and especially your young quarterback, to make sure his offensive line is in positions to block it properly. It's not just a straightforward, you know, hey, bring in an extra tight end, get it covered, and then make a proper play call and make a throw. It's definitely not as straightforward, as simple as that. So listen, they're going to see it more and more. They've been seeing it more and more as the season's gone on. Teams are going to blitz them. Teams are going to go and drop back and run man coverage. Josh has got to be able to, A, break that blitz, B, put their offensive line in better positions to get blocking so that he has more than a second and a half, and C, he's got to deliver some accurate throws. And D, maybe even more overarching here at this point, is they need to hit a deep ball. What's the best way for a team to fear and not be able to blitz the crap out of you? The fear that you're going to beat them one-on-one. The thing is the Baltimore Ravens did not fear the deep ball of the Buffalo Bills at all today.
No, they did not respect it.
And either did New England. And that's why both of those teams ran a ton of cover zero. They blitzed them 30-plus times in a game because they don't fear the deep ball. They need to be able to hit it. There's not a lot of excuses for Josh on that.
Don't you think if you're a defensive coordinator or defensive head coach coming in to play the Buffalo Bills, you're not necessarily making Josh Allen play quarterback. I don't think that's right at all. But you're making Josh Allen throw the ball deep. Like, yeah. If you're going to give him
you're
one
give
thing
him
right
ball.
Now, what are you giving him?
The
because
ball.
He's been great inside 20 yards. He's been great running it. What are you going to give him? It's clearly the deep ball right now. He's overthrowing almost
every single one
of them. The one that he doesn't overthrow today, which ended up so short that it wasn't even picked, was the one where he had a guy right in his face. So I don't know. Like, yes, he has to start hitting on it. The other thing I'm thinking about, too, is Bulldog made this point on the postgame show. They really need a type of receiver that can win one-on-one matchups. A legit number one wide receiver, because on days like today, when it is straight up man coverage and the other team has some really solid corners on the other side that can lock up your top receivers, you need an A receiver. Because right now, and this is not a new thing, we all know that this is what was designed for this season, they brought in a lot of improved talent on the offense coming into the season, but it was B guys. It was not superstar players. We're not talking Pro Bowl players. We're not talking all pros. We're talking about pretty darn good wide receivers, pretty darn good linemen, a pretty darn good rookie running back in Devin Singletary, but they did not bring in blue chip star level talent on the offense. So it shouldn't be surprising that they are inconsistent. They are about middle of the road this season on offense, and that should have been expected. They don't have superstar talent up there, and you don't need it everywhere, but today, you were really missing that at wide receiver. That final play, you were missing it at wide receiver, where Josh Allen really put the ball right where he had to put it. It's blanketed coverage over John Brown. He did stumble a little bit on the route, which I do think contributed to the fact that Marcus Peters was right there step for step with him. But in that situation, when Josh Allen's got pressure bearing down on him, the ball needs to leave his hands because you obviously can't take a sack on 4th and 8 with the game on the line. The ball needs to go into the air, and you need to put it in a tight space to someone to make a tough catch, even if the throw is perfect. They really do not have a wide receiver right now or a receiving option that is capable of doing that on a consistent basis. I've mentioned before, John Brown is the guy, the 5'10 John Brown, 165 pounds. When Josh Allen needs to get rid of the ball and needs to go to a 50-50 throw, it's going to him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You need someone else to do
and
that.
Listen, I mean, I get that there's been a lot of clamoring for Duke Williams, and Duke Williams is kind of a one-trick pony, but he's the one trick that you don't have. He's the one trick you just don't have the ability to go out and do. And I think they need to look at that because they're not using him.
No, they're not.
They're not using Robert Foster, and I'm not buying that.
I don't mind this for a short-term fix, obviously in the long term.
Yeah, no,
you need a Duke Williams. It's actually legitimately
good. You need
an
A.J. Green. You need an Amari Cooper, who's also, by the way, not the biggest guy. Right, but anyways, 803-0551, 888-552-550 tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550. Westwood One presents Seahawks at the Rams. It's 8 p.m. It'll be on ESPN 1520. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Time to cut to the locker room. We're going to hear from Matt Milano, brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
Trouble containing Lamar Jackson in this offense. What was it that clicked for y'all today, though?
We were just out there playing fast, not thinking about anything. I think a lot of teams get kind of hesitant once they're playing him and kind of take a step back and let them outwork them physically and also with their speed. We kind of tried to take that away.
It seemed like that was big boy football, if you will, out there today. Like, how physical was that football game?
Yeah, it was fast and physical as well. So, yeah.
And then now, as far as Lamar is concerned, you know, when you guys are in a position where you kind of have to make a play, was it more about just attacking and making sure that you just had to go after him instead of making him make a play on you?
Yeah, exactly. If we had an assignment job to get the quarterback, got to get the quarterback. I had one play, got broke down a little bit. But, yeah, exactly. Assignment football.
How do you make assignments? How difficult is it to actually get after him based on his speed and elusiveness?
I mean, yeah, you've seen him throughout the whole year. He's elusive. And we just got to – I mean, we're fast as well, but – you just got to make the play when you're in the position.
Matt, did you play against him at BC?
Yeah.
How did he compare to last time?
Same thing. Fast, throwing the ball everywhere, running around.
Did that help when, they say so much faster in person than he is on film, but did that past experience kind of help temper expectation?
Yeah, I mean, not really. We just got to go out there and play. It's an NFL game, you know.
How do you make sure this loss doesn't cost you 2 weeks, basically, and you get back to work?
Yeah, just keep building. Put it behind us. Correct the tape tomorrow. Come in, get that watched, and then probably face him again later in the season.
I like that. Matt Milano said probably face him later on in the season, maybe in the playoffs. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Overtime show continues on next here on WGR.
Now I'm frustrated by loss. Forget.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
hanging with the team. If we wanted to just hang with the team, we could lose every game and hang with every team, but ultimately we're here to win. That's the most frustrating part.
Welcome back to the Overtime Show, presented by Radlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Tomorrow on WGR Sports Radio 550, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Howard and Jeremy break the game down with you in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with John Murphy, Steve Tasker at noon, and Chopin Bulldog at 3. Micah Hyde will be on at 4, and then it's Monday Night Football. Westwood One presents Giants at the Eagles, 7:30, a real barn burner there. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm telling you, man, Eli Manning, one game for the Hall of Fame. It's a great idea. It'll get butts in the seats. People will watch. You'd watch, right? Winning, you're in for the Hall of Fame. The only thing that's on the line tomorrow is
you just turn around and hand off a Saquon. Which they've haven't really done this year, which is
he's been injured, I think. I would bet you that he was not 100% when he came back from that calf injury. New England touchdown, by the way, after their fourth blocked punt of the season.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. And Brandon Bolden scores the touchdown, just like everybody had their fourth string running back. Frig the Patriots is what I have to say. Larry, you're on the Overtime Show. Larry, what do you got for us, brother?
Hey, fellas, it's been a while. How you doing?
You know, one of those days today.
Yeah, absolutely. At least it's still warm in Florida.
Oh, give me a break, Larry. Give me a break.
Hey, before I get into it, just a quick shout-out to my brother Peter and his beautiful wife, Linda. They just became grandparents for multiple times. I think this is the third time, but it just happened yesterday. So congratulations. I want to address, before I get to my point, I want to address the callers that are questioning the two-point conversion. I'm dumbfounded that we still have callers that are claiming to be educated football callers that would question that. We're down by 15 points. We have to do it at least once. I'd rather do it early than later, because if we do it early and we fail, we still have shot, if we score a second time, of getting an onside kick. If we wait till the second time we score, which we have to score twice, and we go for the two-point conversion, game's over if we don't get it. So, I mean, it's unbelievable that people could call and complain about that, and we got it, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know. That's the part that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if you want to look back, listen, everybody is going to complain when something doesn't work, but it's very weird and rare. I'll leave it to Bills fans to complain about something that actually does work.
Yes. Now, my point is, I mean, we didn't play well. Offensively, we didn't play well. Our defense, to me, played lights out with the exception of one play. It was a miscommunication. I mean, maybe Baltimore saw something, and they read it, and they went for it. I mean, good job for them because they beat us. But other than that play, we stopped Lamar Jackson. We held them. I'm feeling good about what our defense did. I think that Dable and our head coach and Josh Allen got to rethink some things. And they got to rethink some of the play calls, because this is a game that we could have won. Yes, we did have drops. We had significant drops that were crucial to us winning this game. But I think Josh made some bad decisions, and I think Dable made some bad decisions, and that happens. The encouraging thing is the way that defense played, and if we can go back to mistake-free offensive football like we have in the last 3-4 weeks, we're going to win the rest of our games. For the first time in my life, well, I'm sorry, I'm old. That's not true. Since Tom Brady has been quarterback and the Bills have been losing to New England, I'm pretty confident we can beat them. So I can't tell you the last time I felt this way. I'm pretty sure we're going to beat Pittsburgh next week in Pittsburgh, even though we did not play well offensively. I'm feeling very confident we're going to beat New England. And if we don't beat the Jets, then we don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you, Larry. I would want to say that the question really to me is, does Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals have a little bit of miracle magic left in them? Because if they could figure out a way to beat the Patriots, that's really the only way that the Bills are going to find their way into the first seed and win this division.
Since I'm betting on New England not losing to the Bengals and Dolphins, it's the NFL, it could happen, but I'm not betting on that happening. I almost want the Bills to beat New England to increase their chances of playing New England in the wild card round. The way that they are looking right now, it's what did they score 19 against the Bills with seven coming from a block punt that was recorded for a touchdown?
16-10.
So you would have held them to single-digit points. And I, even though you'd be on the road, the way this Patriots offense looks right now, I mean, you lost by seven to the best offense in football. I agree. I think that New England actually might look like a favorable matchup right now, which I know sounds crazy because it's Tom Brady and the Patriots, but the way they look, I'm not scared of that offense one bit, especially with this Bills defense. So I'm not thinking about the division too seriously right
now
because, as you said, the Bengals or Dolphins would have to pull that off. But I think that New England game might be big just because it'll increase your chances of getting to play Tom Brady in that offense right now that is struggling mightily instead of having to play Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead. I think I'd take Foxborough right now if you ask me.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
No.
You don't seem like you agree, though.
No, I'm fine. I'm indifferent.
Okay.
It's just, I don't really have a real...
Well, I'm ready to start thinking about playoff matchups because they are still, even though they lost today, they are still over 95%
to
make the postseason.
Give me the Houston Texans somehow.
What happens with them?
Give me them. Wow. Patrick Mahomes just got... Oh, man, there's going to be a fight.
There was a late hit into the heating.
And they didn't even call a penalty.
What is it, the heating fan?
Yeah, What was super late, and the fact that they didn't call a penalty on that is pretty ridiculous.
They did not.
As is tradition for the Patriots, though. If that was Tom Brady and he was anywhere near the sideline, they would have given 15 yards and thrown him out of the game.
Thrown him out of the sport, possibly. They threw him into a Gatorade machine. Houston, though, they either score 40 and they look the best team in football, or they look like Bill O'Brien deserves to be fired.
Yeah, well, I think you could probably
say they just lay ducks all the time.
Let's go to Buzz. Buzz, you're on the Overtime Show. Thanks for hanging out with us, Buzz.
What's up, Corporate Gates and Sneaky Joe? How you guys doing?
Oh, gosh. Buzz. We're all right. We're all right.
it's rhetorical. And, yeah, if that was Brady that just got thrown into that heater, that would have been they would have arrested him for sure. But the first thing is, I don't think the Bills can play New England in the wild card round. You got to check me on that. I think you have to go out of your division. I'm not sure about that. You guys might.
No, I think what would it's strictly by seeding. So yeah. I think what would have to happen is that the Bills in New England would end up probably having to have the same record, and then what would end up having to happen is the 12-4. I don't know that it could even happen, but you can play within the division in the wild card round. It just has to work out that the 3 seed plays the 5 seed.
Okay, well, yeah, by all
means. 4 seed plays a 5 seed, I'm sorry.
By all means, then, because New England looks pretty much shot. If they don't block punts left and right, I don't know if they win any games, you know. So we'll see in a couple weeks. But just the one thing I really – well, the first thing is, of course you go for 2 points when the Bills went for 2 points. You go for the 2-point conversion, of course. So let's just lay that to rest for sure. The only thing that I really want to comment on today, other than I wish the Bills could have caught a few more balls, they just dropped way too many big balls today, is that whoever designed the play where Dawson Knox, your rookie tight end, is lined up blocking one-on-one against Matthew Judon, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? But you can't have that happen. Now, I don't know if it's a miscommunication, if he was supposed to have help from a back, or if he was supposed to get help from the left tackle, you know, I don't know. And I don't know if Allen was the one that didn't, you know, align the, you know, have the proper line call there, or if it came from above, but that cannot happen. And the defense, hats off to him. Love you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Buzz. Appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for listening, as always. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot to unpack from Buzz's
something.
Call,
something just happened in the Steeler game because everybody's freaking out about something Mike Tomlin just did. Called a fake punt, maybe up 3 that just completely epically failed.
Oh,
I'm waiting for video because this sounds pretty juicy. But maybe Arizona's not dead yet. Playing the Steelers. That would really bump up the Bills playoff odds, because remember, you need two teams to catch them. I'm not even really thinking about them missing the playoffs.
Listen, Bray,
you got to beat the Jets, and you're 99.8% to make it.
If you're on Bills Twitter, you know about Bray. Bray_88 Brayon on Twitter just had a great tweet. He quote tweeted the video of Tre'Davious White grabbing the paper.
Okay.
And
which was, by the way, the best moment of the
yes,
game.
Yes, and it's quoted as "your girl when you leave your phone unlocked."
That's pretty good.
That is very good. 803-0551, 888-552-550 are the numbers to call. I should cut to the locker room.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's cut to the locker room now to hear from, let's go motor. Let's go to Devin Singletary. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
What was the difference in the fourth quarter when you guys started to run the ball a little bit better there?
We just kind of got in our rhythm, you know, kind of. Got things going, made a couple checks, you know, the checks that we needed to make, and got going.
They had a lot of pressure. They brought pressure all the time. How did that impact you guys as far as play calling or things you really wanted to do?
Not much. We knew that was going to bring pressure.
Was this the most blitz pickup you've ever had in your life in one game?
I want to say in my life, but it was a lot today.
The long run, you had a 38-yard run. Mm-hmm. That helped on the touchdown drive. Just to kind of describe what you saw there and what that.
I saw a big old hole. The offensive line got a lot of push. The receiver, you know, he got his block on the outside. All I had to do was run.
The play. I mean, there was a few plays that were close that you didn't that the team didn't make. There was a wide receiver screen. Looked like that was open. If you had just caught it and beaten. Did you see an opening there?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, you know, we made some mistakes today that cost us. It comes with the game.
When your defense plays as well as it did against that offense, is it frustrating from an offensive perspective to not have held up your end of it?
Yeah, because we feel like we're letting our brothers down.
Is that how physical of a game was it out there?
It was pretty physical, all four quarters.
Devin, what was the difference, whether what they were doing or what, that the offense wasn't able to perform like we've seen the past 3 weeks, where you guys have been probably the best you've been all year?
I would say in the beginning we kind of got off to a slow start, but they did give us some issues that, you know, that we had to address. So it was just kind of tough throughout the game, but towards the end we got it together.
How do you make sure this loss doesn't cost you guys 2 weeks and you can get right back on it on a big national stage next week?
Right. We know what we did. You know, we're gonna go back and watch the tape, see what we got to fix. We know we got a chance. We got a team, so we're gonna stick together and keep fighting.
Ed likened this one to the New England loss, about being so close against such a high-caliber team. Do you kind of have the same feeling after this where you ran with them but you couldn't get over the hump?
Nah, I wouldn't say it's the same feeling at all. I feel like we got, you know, way better since then. You know, it was just a couple mistakes that cost us today.
That was Motor Singletary. Quick timeout on the other side. We'll continue on here in the Overtime Show on WGR.
I thought there were some plays he wanted to have back, particularly early there, some throws. There were some times we could have helped him out, too. Josh is a young player. We had a couple young players out there make some mistakes, drop some balls. Josh had a couple overthrows. That's all things we have to learn from. That this experience will help our football team moving forward.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. This is the Overtime Show brought to you by Rudlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Tomorrow on WGR Sports Radio 550, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, Howard, Jeremy. They'll break down the game down with you in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog at 3. Then they got Bills safety Micah Hyde at 4. And then Monday Night Football, Westwood One presents the Giants and Eagles at 7:30 p.m. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, all day on their home of the radio home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And don't forget, a half hour of me with the nightcap tomorrow from 7 to 7:30.
I don't know how I could have ever forgotten.
How could
forgotten
you possibly miss that? It's going to be a thrilling 25 minutes of radio. So prepare yourselves.
I'm going to let people know tonight as well on WGR Sports Radio 550. Of course, you can hear the Sabres versus the Edmonton Oilers. That'll be on here. But over at our sister station, ESPN 1520, Westwood One presents Seahawks at Rams. It's 8 p.m. Sunday Night Football. On WGR, brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. I got to take a quick time out because we went a little long last segment. When we come back, we'll continue taking your phone calls. Then I'm going to hand it over to Brian Cozio and the Sabres pregame show staff as they head in for pregame as the Sabres face off at 8 p.m. here on WGR.
Oh, I'm loving this game right now in Foxborough.
Welcome back to the Overtime Show. Joe is taking a lot of pleasure from watching the referees.
It's so amazing.
Unintentionally, on accident, screw over the New England Patriots.
Three times. Well, two times, and then... So, Travis Kelce fumbled the football. Stephon Gilmore picked it up. Was easily going to score. Whistle blows, thought that he was down by contact, clearly was not. They lost a touchdown because of that. Then, New England drives down, N'Keal Harry scores a touchdown. Foot was very close to out of bounds, but it wasn't. And they called it no touchdown. New England's out of challenges, so they can't throw the red flag. If they had challenges, they would have clearly been ruled a touchdown. So, they don't get it there. Then, they do score a touchdown, but because it was called a score on the play, they can review it, and they take it back from New England. Then, Brady's got sacked, so they're now settling for the field goal.
Which is beautiful. Poetic justice.
Poetic justice. Yeah. Just, oh. Love it.
Welcome back to the Overtime Show, everybody, here. Brought to you by Redlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Let's go back to the phones. We only have about 15 more minutes here on the Overtime Show until we have to hand it over to Brian Koziel and the Sabres pregame staff as the Sabres take on the Oilers here starting at 8 p.m. Let's go to John. John, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, John.
Hey, Nate. Hey, Joe. Yeah, I'll tell you. Talk about guts. Allen showed it. Remember in the first half, it looked like a pretty serious leg injury. He was limping pretty bad, and he came back. He never noticed the limp. So I give him credit for that. And hopefully he'll be okay to play against Pittsburgh. But I got to say, Nate, you played quarterback in high school and college. How about keeping a back in the backfield to help Josh out with the pass rush? What do you think?
Yeah, John, I thought that they did on a couple of plays. They did that. The problem is when they're bringing six and seven guys, basically every time they're bringing the blitz, it gets really difficult to kind of wall it off. The best way you combat a team that wants to run that kind of blitz on you is you got to be able to beat them with the quick passing game. They can't get away with doing it, and they got away with doing it all game. It was less about what the Ravens were doing and more about what the Bills weren't doing offensively that I think ended up being some of the issues there. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just I want to start off by saying I think that there's a lot of negativity going, and to be honest, I'm super optimistic with what I'm seeing out of this team. You know, Josh is a project quarterback and was the biggest project drafted out of that draft class. And, you know, he's really developed, in my opinion at least, hitting the middle of the field extremely well, where we didn't see that last year at all. And even going back to Tyrod, it was just something that we didn't have in our offense. And, you know, I think if he can start hitting those deep balls and, again, being a project quarterback with the defense we have and, you know, some of the playmakers we have on offense, I really think this is a team that can beat anybody in the league. And, you know, being a Bills team that has never won a Super Bowl and it's been so long since we've had a really good team, I think there should be a lot more excitement with this team. And I feel like, again, if Josh can just start hitting a couple more of those deep balls, maybe won this game, you know, the Bills are winning this game. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people are just missing. And I'm really optimistic for what this team's going to be for the rest of this year and going forward.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tom. I agree with you. Obviously, I don't think you're going to find anyone that doesn't agree that Josh Allen has to start hitting these deep balls. And it's not like they're really, really difficult throws. They're kind of one of the easiest throws you make are these deep balls. So that's the thing that I keep going back to that I feel okay about, is that eventually I think he is going to start hitting these because they are some of the easier throws you can make in football. He's just not able to do it with the right timing. And I do think, too, a lot of it, I would like to see him start underthrowing it.
Yes, you know, and then your worst-case scenario is a lot of times that it's going to be a pass interference call because they're running into the receiver. The only play I can even think of that happening all year is was it against Denver, Dawson Knox, like on the sidelines? Like, other than that play, I can't really think
of the back shoulder throw.
Yeah, I can't really think of a time it's happened because, like you said, like, I'd rather have him underthrow it, but every time he misses, it's always an overthrow. It always is an overthrow.
Yeah, it does seem like that's been the case more times than not, that's for sure. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Lewis. Lewis, you are on the Overtime Show. Welcome.
Hey, I want to take up for Josh. I want to say that Josh is really not – it's like you know the when you get a quarterback and you know his strengths, you try to structure your offense based on his strongest attributes and – I would say that Josh needs receivers that are taller and faster to go down there. I don't think that he's overthrowing them. He can barely see them. The cornerbacks are taller than the receivers. And I'm looking at it like, my God, you see that they got Jackson in an offense that can work for him. Why can't they get him some bigger receivers? They're drafting these receivers. Why can't they draft some taller receivers that can catch the ball?
Well, Lewis, I'll give you
I'll give you this. Tall, if they're also fast.
They went for tall last year, and it did not work out.
But they were tall and slow.
They were lumbering. FYI, how many tall, fast receivers are there?
There's some. Yeah.
There are not many. It's not like they're a dime a dozen. Like, you can just find them anywhere.
But that's why when we talk about what they need to add a wide receiver, it's like a true number one. They don't really need a number two or three.
Well, is this Sammy and Gilmore going at it right now?
Former Bills, you are correct. Sammy Watkins and Stephon Gilmore are...
Sammy took them all the way out of bounds.
Is that a fight?
Is
that qualify as a fight? That's not... I mean... Wow. What are we supposed to think about this? Stephon Gilmore and Sammy Watkins basically just fought on the sidelines in this New England
game. I'm kind of into it. Good for Sammy.
I kind of am, too.
Good for Sammy.
Little beef there, maybe, extending back to the Buffalo days, we think?
And, I mean, there's a couple Bills in this game.
Who else?
Anyways, I wanted to grab on Lewis's point here, but... yeah, I mean, DK, here's the thing. You sacrifice these guys' ability to move laterally when they're big and tall. Like, DK Metcalf's a 4.3 guy, but he's not moving right and left very quickly. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, I agree. They need to get a larger – how about this? They need a number one receiver. I don't care how big he is. I don't care. As long as he can catch the football and be a guy that they can go to on just about any down. I love John Brown. This is not a knock on John Brown. They just need a legitimate number one receiver. I think that. It's not a knock on him.
I do too. I don't think you need to add another Brown or Beasley. Like, you've got those guys. They're good. You just don't have the guy that you're looking for when the other team is zero blitzing. You need a 50-50 ball. And I'd like to think that Dawson Knox could develop into that one day because of his athleticism and his size. But yeah. Right, you can't throw him a 50-50 ball right now because he's not catching tough passes. He's hardly catching easy ones. So they don't really have that player. And I don't mind if they go out and get a big physical wide receiver. But again, it has to be to the level of he can actually get open. Because they have a big physical receiver right now in Duke Williams who does not consistently get open. So you need to have it work both ways. I'd rather have a small receiver that can get open than a big guy like an Andre Holmes or a Kelvin Benjamin that we've seen here before that basically can only be utilized in the red zone. And the Bills are fine in the red zone. So I don't really need that right now. I don't need the jump balls.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Robert, you're on the Overtime Show. What's up, Robert?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Nothing much.
Long-time Bills fan. I'm 36, man. I saw the 99, 11-5 season with Flutie and Homer throwback and all that stuff. I'm a little concerned. Before this game, being a Bills fan, I think it's a little pessimistic, but, you know, the four-game stretch is really hard coming here. I could easily see we're not really favored at Thursday night or Sunday night football at, obviously, the Steelers.
It might have changed, but the only line I saw in that late in the week was that the Bills are favored by a point. So yeah. It might have changed, but they could be favored.
Okay, but I could very easily see. I'm just being what the team is this year. They play close games. You know, the offense is mediocre. The defense is elite. I could see us losing at Pittsburgh and going to New England. We're not going to be favored.
No.
And then
no.
Down to the Jets. You imagine, though, it comes down to Bills win and lose at the Jets.
I hope it doesn't come down to that.
And I think it's going to.
I think they're going to win 11 games.
I don't.
I think they're going to win 11 games.
You think they win two?
That's what I said at the beginning of the year. But here's the other thing I have to say is, it's been said all year, Daboll had an awful game today. We ran the ball. That's why we got our points. Running the ball. Allen was getting beat up. I don't know what happened to O-line. The O-line looked atrocious.
The O-line didn't look good, Robert, but, I mean, they were bringing more guys than they could block a lot of the time. And that's really just kind of what it comes down to. And to be honest with you, I don't agree on the Daboll point, and I want to kind of keep driving that home that I don't really agree on the Daboll point because I think he had a fine game calling plays. And I know that when the offense doesn't play good, the first thing we want to do is blame Brian Daboll and say he's trash and whatever. But Brian Daboll needs his offense to execute, and they were unable to execute really all day because of what the defense was doing to them. They had answers to the test, and the Bills simply had no answers for them. They had no answers for that cover zero. And, you know, listen, they're not going to face teams that have three cover corners like the Ravens do every week. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a good defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick's a really good player, really, really good player. Obviously, you know the New England, but I think they're going to win 11 games. I've thought that from the beginning. I think that right now.
So you see them winning which two games? The Jet game
and the Steelers. And I think that they could easily, I think that it's very possible they could get to 12. I think they can
What's
win all
likely, 9 or 12?
12.
I think I agree.
I think 12 is more likely.
I would, it's going, 10 or 11 I think is very close for me because I don't really know what to make of this Pittsburgh game yet.
I'll say
11 is more likely than 10 too.
The reason I feel confident about the Pittsburgh Steelers is I think the Bills are going to be able to put up 14 to 17 points, and that's all you're going to need with your defense against Duck, yeah. Whatever his name is. I don't even know what his name is. Sorry, Duck guy.
Hodges.
Duck. What's his last name?
Hodges.
I was going to say Samford, but I'm pretty sure it's where he went to college.
That's where he went to college. Yeah, his last name is not Samford.
Let's go to Louie. Louie, you're on the overtime show, man. How are you?
How you doing, fellas?
Good.
All right. My point is, you know, that, you know, they're trying to force this deep ball all the time. And look at Tom Brady. The success he's had over the years is 7-yard crossing patterns, the Edelman, Welker. You got John Brown, you got Beasley, you got Knox. Use that weapons across the middle, 7 yards, kill them with a slow, methodical drive, hit them over the middle, do a little screen pass. And then maybe the deep ball will open up now and then. But the defense, I feel bad that they've kept shutouts week after week. And they're wasting opportunities. You know, it's first and 10. They're throwing 50-yard bombs down the field. Why? Throw 7 yards and just kill them that way. And then they could march down the field and score touchdowns. And when they have moved the ball, that's how – and they've scored touchdowns. That's how they've scored, is short passes, chip away at them. That's my point.
Thanks, Louie. Thanks for the call. I agree with you. I had been kind of pounding the table for them to hit a short passing game over the middle. I think the easiest way you beat that cover zero is you just run, you know, you run quick out routes, you run quick slant routes, you run option routes with Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley should have had 15 targets today. He didn't. So, I mean, they had 39 attempts, and he did not get 15 targets. I thought he should have had more. End of the day, they didn't happen, and that's kind of what ends up being the difference in that game. Let's go to Justin. Justin, you're on the overtime show. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Sorry, I just took a big old bite of salad.
No, it's salad. Come on, make it. I guess I could understand if you're like, I just took a big old bite of steak.
You probably had a heavy, pizza filled,
a carb diet earlier. Now he's going green. Right. Okay,
a little lighter.
All right, Justin. Well, I guess I can give. I forgive you.
I'm eating spaghetti and salad.
What'd, okay. what'd you have for lunch, Justin? What'd you have for lunch?
Big Mac, McDonald's. Guys, because you and Joe, Nate, brought up something about some sports writer called Josh Allen a Big Mac.
Yes, that happened.
Yeah. He's a Big Mac.
So
it was
your inspiration.
Josh Allen was a Big Mac to Lamar Jackson's Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
Which in today's game, I don't know that I would have given either of those guys Wagyu beef.
You made me hungry. Big Mac, in honor. I just want to caution all the Bills fans listening. But lay off the Josh Allen crap. Don't be knocking him. Don't, you know, yeah, it wasn't his strongest game. Could have done better offensively, yes. My question for you guys, where are our strengths and weaknesses in terms of matchups next week in Pittsburgh? What concerns you about Pittsburgh? I think defensively, I would say, is their strong point. How do you feel we can exploit them, and how do you think our defense can shut those guys down? And finish this carb bill.
Yes, finish your carbolo, Justin. We appreciate you listening and giving us a shout. My biggest concerns with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I haven't got a chance to watch them. I'll probably do that at some point tomorrow before I'm in Vegas all week, by the way. Sorry to rub that into everybody, but I'm in Las Vegas all week. I'll be back before Sunday, so I'll be here for the game. Don't worry. But I'll probably watch some and get some catching up with Pittsburgh tomorrow. The thing that I think right off the bat that concerns me about them. They have a great offensive line. They have a great defensive line, and they've got a good young linebacker in Devin Bush. Minkah Fitzpatrick was for a pretty good portion of the season playing at a defensive MVP caliber. And at the end of the day, they're coached by Mike Tomlin, who I think is one of the class of the league. I think he's one of the best head coaches in football. And whenever you have Mike Tomlin, I think you got a fighting chance. So my concerns mostly lie with you need to score more points than they do, and that defense is pretty good. I'm not worried about Duck Hamilton. Or Duck
Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty. I'm not really worried about Duck Dynasty.
Who's the all-time Duck? It's definitely not Duck Hodges.
Is there other Ducks? Who's another Duck?
Donald Duck, Daffy Duck.
Oh, we're talking about like
Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
Yeah, Ducks. I'm gonna go Donald Duck.
I would say Duck Hodges probably ranks fourth among Ducks.
What? No, there's gotta be another Duck.
I'm not sure.
It's gotta be. There's no way Duck Hodges is already the fourth all-time Duck.
Let's go to another phone call. I like the point here. Let's go to Josh. Joshua, you are on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Josh.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I want to give 2 points. You know, yeah, we lost 24-17, but you know the Ravens have been demolishing teams throughout this whole season, and the fact that to be that we're toe to toe with arguably the best team in the league, I think you know that speaks volumes for a young Bills team. And my second point is, okay, yeah, this was an important game, but could there be a sense to where the Bills and the Ravens kind of have an indication where they might see each other in the playoffs, so they didn't want to like really tip their hand off on a game that really does count?
You know, Joshua, I don't want to buy into the fact that I think coaches are holding game plans back in the middle of the regular. I don't know. I'm going to say no on that because you never can predict who you're going to play in the playoffs. And I think right now, for the most part, the AFC is kind of a 2 or 3 team race at the top. I don't think New England's even in the conversation anymore of being the top team in the AFC. It's definitely the Baltimore Ravens, and I think the Kansas City Chiefs are proving today. You know, and I think they will ultimately prove with a win in this game that they are probably the second best team in the AFC. I don't think that was in doubt at all. They had an injury to Patrick Mahomes earlier in the season that kind of derailed some of what they were doing. Otherwise, I think they'd be right up there with the Ravens right now. And they beat the Ravens head to head early in the season. And put 500 yards on them.
New England is making it close here late. They're actually driving right now and could tie this game, but they are home, and Kansas City has basically controlled this game. I'm in that boat, too. Like, I don't think the Bills are too far off of... I do think if there were tiers right now, I would put probably Kansas City and Baltimore... I put Baltimore probably on their own peg right now. Like, they're clear-cut the number one team. Then I put Kansas City and New England together. I think the Bills and Texans deserve to be grouped together. And then
Pittsburgh. The Bills don't have the sort of teeter-totter that the Houston Texans have. I mean, the Houston Texans are one team,
Houston
1 week.
Houston has a much higher
ceiling.
High.
I agree. Like
they can show up too. They did it earlier against Kansas City, didn't they? They can show up to play
those
teams.
They beat the Patriots last week. They hung 30 on
them. They can not only go in and beat those teams, but they can outscore you. Like they can win in multiple different types of ways. The Bills, I feel like to this point in the season, even with a couple of really nice offensive performances before today's game, I still feel like the only way they're going to consistently beat those good teams is by just shutting them down defensively. And I feel like Houston can do it in different ways. So I won't disagree that, you know, that their lows are, I think, a lot lower than the Bills' lows. But I do think that they got a lot of blue-chip talent. I like Houston.
Yeah, I do too.
Although I would want the Bills to play them among all the teams in the first round.
Absolutely. Let's cut to the locker room now. Let's hear from John Feliciano, brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
Calm down at the end, third quarter. Take your hats off to them.
Was it difficult to figure out where they were coming from? Was that maybe the biggest problem tonight?
No.
What was it? I mean, it was just handling it, or?
I mean, they're the number one team in the league, right? That was the problem.
John, what do you think? What was the first quarter you guys really kind of struggled with the ball? You did a little bit later. What did you figure out on your end?
I mean, we had 7 or something, 3 and outs. We just got to do better on first down. They were in our backfield a little bit.
Is that the most physical team you've played this year, too?
Up there. I couldn't tell you who number one is right now. But they were definitely a physical front. They're a real good team, coached well. They believe they're the number one team. They did good. They showed it.
Coming off the win over Dallas, how tough is mm-hmm. this loss? I mean, any loss is tough to take. I get that. But coming off that big win and the great feeling everybody had, is this loss any tougher to take?
No. All losses suck. We were 9-4. We got to get back. We play on Sunday Night Football next week. The Steelers have been rolling, and they're fighting for a playoff slot.
When they went up two scores and you got it back, what was the mentality? You guys ended up, getting down the field pretty quickly. What was the mentality when you were down?
We believed in our defense, and our defense did a hell of a job today. We believed. I had no doubt in my mind if we would have scored that last touchdown, we would have won in overtime.
Is there any consolation at all that, you guys just went toe-to-toe with what most people believe right now are maybe the Super Bowl favorites in this league?
Not really. If we would have played better, I think we would have won. Hats off to them.
That's Bills offensive lineman John Feliciano, Brian Koziel, and the Sabres pregame show, the Paul William Belts pregame show, coming up next here on WGR. Thanks, Joe. Thanks to our man. Kai Pau? People can't see me doing this, but Kyle knows.
I was going to say, it doesn't really work on radio.
We'll be back next week. Sunday Night Football is next week. We will be on this show until 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
So if you guys are making the trip down
Night
to Pittsburgh,
Owls. Let's see
you. And you're driving back up, you can tune on the Overtime Show. We'll be here hanging out with you all night on Sunday. Looking forward to it here. The Bills, they lose to the Baltimore Ravens 24-17, down to 9-4 on the season with a chance for 10 wins next week on Sunday Night Football. This has been the Overtime Show brought to you by Rudlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.